the praise, all the honor, all the glory tonight, oh God. Father, as we join together for our evening service, oh God, Father, I just pray that you would just minister to us in the areas that need ministry, Lord. Challenge us, equip us, all possible, convict us, Lord. Whatever you got to do tonight, oh God, that we get one step closer to you. And the body of Christ will say, amen. Go ahead and kick back. Worship team, thank you very much. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. You got your Bibles. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25. Amen. Amen and amen. And while you're going there, I want to take the opportunity to thank God for His grace and His mercy. Have you ever asked God for something, and then you forget, but then He grants you that prayer? Well, it happened to me a few days ago, and I forgot. But when it happened, He reminded me. So if I'm nice to you from now on, I'm not being hypocritical. I just got to keep my word to God. Come on, somebody. Right? I just got to keep my word to God. You know what I mean? That's just the bottom line. So I'm going to smile more. I'm going to be more happy. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to study more. Whatever it takes to keep my word. He said, Lord, if you give me this one desire, God, I'll be a good boy for the rest of my life. And I got two witnesses here that saw the actual prayer come to pass. So I'm not making it up. But have you got, are you there? Proverbs? Amen. 25, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Amen. You know, I just want to finish out the year of, you know, expectation. You know, what is God expects from, what do we expect from God, and what does God expects from us? You know, as we're finishing this year, and I'm going to piggyback right from Pastor Pat's message. You know, sometimes we have a thing, oh, he stole my message, or he preached my message. But you know what? I was scheduled to preach on Wednesday, but how many of you guys know that God has different plans sometimes? I mean, know that God is above our schedule and our church services and our little Mickey Mouse agendas. Come on, somebody. Amen. And God comes in and says, that's good, but I got something better for you. But I'm going to pick it back right, you know, since He confirmed it. Hello, somebody. You know what I mean? But it's kind of like I had elk meat tacos Friday night. I had elk meat tacos Saturday for lunch. And then when I got home, I wanted something different, but I don't want to mention her name, but she lives with me. So can we have some more elk tacos? And even though it's the same food, but if you put a little bit of salt, you put some red chili, you put some salsa, it tastes a little different and better. So what you're about to hear now is not the same message. It's just going to get better. Come on, somebody. I'm just going to put a little bit of prayer into it. Amen. But look what it says right here. You know, God, I mean, God has selected, handpicked us, chosen us to carry on God's message to His people. You know, and, you know, even though you might be around, you might just drove out, you might be in the home, you might be a youngster, young whippersnapper, so I'm too young, I still gotta be a little rascal. Hey, you don't know what God has in store. Okay, David was 12 years old when he got anointed to be king over Israel. But he didn't become king till he was about 30 years. Come on, somebody. We got saved a certain time, but we didn't catch the vision till it took me almost 3 years to snap that I was saved. Come on, somebody. And sometimes I still wonder. It takes a process. You know, even we're living in a time frame, let me jump ahead of myself. Sometimes we forget that we are saved. We forget. I call the brother, are you ready for church? Oh, I forgot. I mean, you forgot you were saved? Well, come on, man. Let's go, man. I mean, we forget sometimes. Why? Because sometimes we get comfortable, complacency, business as usual, church again. If you ever do that again, man, you need to go back into the men's home, women's home, and restart all over again. Do something, man. This should be a motivation within yourself. Later I'm going to share a portion of scripture that is going to say there is nothing like God. But I'm going to jump more ahead of myself. But, you know, but because we're chosen people, because we're answering the call, you know, this is why verse 27, the terror and trouble will come our way. But that's all right in the Christian world. How many guys know that? How many guys remember Paul the apostle when he got stoned to death out of the city? They threw him out of the city, stoned him. They thought he was dead or something. You know what he did? He gets up and he was physically hurt. I want you to know, people. That was persecution. Sometimes we get fired. You know, I've been fired from jobs for harassment because I talk too much about Jesus. You know what I mean? They better thank God I'm not in a big old lawsuit, baloney and all that stuff, you know. But, I mean, think about it for a second. But Paul gets up and he goes right back into the city to the people that stoned him. He said, wait a minute, not only that God loves you, but God loves you too, but I love you too. And then he gets disciples and he gives him a Bible study. And he tells them straight up, through many trials and tribulations we're going to go through to enter the kingdom of God. So don't expect it. I don't know about you, but when I'm not going through something, I question my walk. I said, God, why have you forsaken me? What's going on here? This is good. I mean, something's not right here. I don't know about you, but I'm already used to trials and tribulations. I call them, that's why I use the terminology, cartoons. You know what I mean? Because we go through stuff. And some of you know me personally. I've been through some stuff. And I'm probably going to go through some more stuff. And so are you. Come on, somebody. But this is why he says right there, don't even be afraid. When the tough times come, or even when the wicked, how many of you know that God uses the righteous, but the devil uses the wicked sometimes? I just got a call. One of my cousins got a job, and I led it to the Lord, and she married my cousin Jimmy. They're both, you know, into the Lord, and she just called me out of the blues, and I really don't talk to her, but I need prayer. I don't want to quit this job. I've been here for so long, but these people are coming against me, doing this or doing that. I just pray for her. She's still at the job. I said, you know, sometimes you just got to keep focused on what you're called to do, and you focus on your God, and you focus on this and that. Let me jump ahead of myself again. I heard, I know some of you girls love, what's her name, Mayor? What's her first name? Come on, somebody. Yeah. See, I don't even know her name, but she's a good speaker. She's cool. She's not my cup of tea, but she's cool. She's a woman of God. But I heard her the other morning because I was using the mornings. I'm having coffee with me, Jesus, and TBN. Okay, so I'm doing that, and I heard her say this old terminology. Some of you heard it before, and I'm going to refresh your memory. It's about an old donkey that the owner said, "Well, this donkey is no good no more. No sirve para nada. He ain't no good." So instead of killing him, he decided to throw him in a pit. And they started to throw dirt. We're just going to bury him. But the more dirt we throw, the donkey would shake his. He'd shake it up with him. And the more dirt we throw, he'd shake it up and stomp on it. And then finally he got to the top. He's still stomping and took off. And sometimes people are going to throw dirt on us. Come on, somebody. They're going to talk smack about you. When you do good, the Bible says that evil is present. Nobody wants to hear the truth. Nobody wants to, you can't be doing this, you can't be doing that. Or, I don't go to that church because you judge me. They're too judgmental. They're too controlling. They want me in church every chance they get. Come on, somebody. And took a look at what's going on. We're going to look at some passages in a minute, but I'm just trying to get a little bit of stuff in here. But, you know, I made a decision a long time ago. I even started blocking people off. Just blocked the number. I don't have time for that. You know what I mean? Especially being safe. Well, they claim to be safe forever, and they're still same old thing, you know. I don't know how they got this concept idea that I relapse. When the heck that comes from? That doesn't come from Victory Outreach. Come on, somebody. You backslide, that's it. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Tell it like a yes, you know. I need prayer. I'm going to this. I'm going to that. But what do you mean when I pray the relapse? What do you mean relapse? What the heck is relapse? You know what I mean? But, you know, and sometimes it's not that you block him off or you cut him straight, but sometimes you got to turn him over to God. So I tell people, you know, if I can't do nothing for you, what if, you know, if God can't do nothing for you, what am I going to do? We're living in crazy times. Can I hear an amen, somebody? We're going to look at that in a few minutes. But see, this is where we're, what is God expecting, what we expect from God and what he's expecting from us, you know, and stuff. But I want you to know that, you know, we got to still reach out to people in the same pattern. Can't be selfish. That scripture that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling doesn't mean that, hey, well, I'm saved. Come on, somebody. We get like that sometimes. We forget what the Lord has done. I'll come back to that in a little bit. But I want to take you to a passage of scripture. I want to take you to a passage of scripture in Isaiah. We're going to come back to that, so don't you dare lose it, okay? I'm going to come back in a little bit. But also remember that before we turn, and we're going to come back to that in a little bit, but I want you to go with me to 46:8 of Isaiah. All right? 46:8 of Isaiah. It says, remember this and show yourselves Victory Outreach. I know it says men in some of your Bibles, but we're talking to the body of Christ. And I'm not just singling out anybody because it says men, then the women are going to say, well, I guess we're not included. No, no, no. The Bible says in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It doesn't matter, man, woman, youngster, oldster, you know what I mean, in between. It doesn't matter. He's going to pour out his spirit. But it says right there, remember this and show yourselves the Victory Outreach. Recall to mind all your transgressors. Now, I want you to know, when I read that word, why is it calling us sinners? So why is it calling us transgressors? The word transgressor is just another word for sinners, you know. But I want you to, before I get any further, I want to take you to I read this in Isaiah, the footnotes. It's probably not in your Bible, but let me read it to what Isaiah, the prophet, was trying to pass out to, in this portion of scripture. All right, just bear with me. See, Isaiah is like a miniature Bible. The first 30 chapters, like the 39th chapter of the Old Testament, are filled with judgment upon immoral and adulterous situations. Judah has sinned, the surrounding nation has sinned, and the whole earth has sinned. So how long will God tolerate that? And see, this is why Isaiah was trying to bring a simple message of hope that there is a Messiah coming. He was talking about Jesus. He was talking about a salvation. And that's the same message that we all been preaching from the get-go. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? Sure, we get different type of messages and leadership and this and that and all that good stuff. You know, but the bottom line is that, you know, look what's taking place even right here. Doesn't that kind of identify us with what we're dealing with nowadays? Come on, somebody. If that was written back in the times of Isaiah and the times of the Bible, look, Albuquerque has sinned. America has sinned. And the surrounding nations have sinned. The whole world has sinned. Come on, somebody. That's why John 3:16 kind of clarifies it simply, for God so loved the world. You know, I had a couple of guys with me this morning, and hey, man, well, they were saying about, because he's been to Victory Outreaches in California. I said, man, I mean, for the type of church and anointing you guys have, you should already be packed out. And I kind of broke it down to him. This is what we're living in. People like to come to church on Sundays. You know, me digas nada. Don't tell me nothing. You know what I mean? And let me jump ahead of myself again. See, in 1963 to 1973, there was a movement called the Jesus Movement. It was all over the nation, and Jesus Paka and Jesus Paya and rallies and everything was going on. But at the same time, abortion became legal. At the same time, prayer was taken out of schools. At the same time, the Ten Commandments in Pennsylvania got attacked. So what was all this movement then? How can this happen when there's a great movement of Jesus across the nation? Could it have been people just went to church in an emotional, religious way? Ouch. Come on, somebody. I told you some piggyback riding from Pastor Matt's message. So if you want to get mad at me, get mad at him. He started it. I'm just finishing it. But think about it for a second. How could that be? See, that's why the scripture that we're reading on and was taking place. And I want you to know that we as believers, we are those, we need to be like the pulpits of America. See, there was a preacher in the 1800s, in the late 1800s, by the name of Charles Finley. And that guy was a Holy Ghost preacher. He wrote many books. He was one of the movements that took that evangelism to another level. But he also prophesied that if the church doesn't rise this up, the whole world's going to take over. And when I look at that, when I read that, I said, man, that prophecy is coming to pass. Because now, you know, one day I'm going to make a conference. I'm going to call it, "Will the Real Christians Please Stand Up?" Because we have allowed sin to creep into the church world. We have allowed church into a house. You know, I was talking to a young man yesterday. We're doing a little side job. And he said, "Okay, if I put some Mexican music," or, "I guess you're Mexican, right?" I said, "Don't care." But it was worldly music. And I got convicted. Because I'm trying to minister to this young man, and he's like, "What's the difference?" I'm not going to let one song steal my joy or my salvation. That ain't going to happen. I'm over that. I'll be honest with you. When I listen to K-Line, I listen to St. Christian's Stations, and I got my little stash on the side, I'll listen to the 70s. And when I drive the car you guys call Lowrider, I got oldies in there. Christian oldies. Don't even get it. Amen? Don't even think about it. But the thing of it is, it's your relationship that matters with Jesus. What good is it to come on Sunday morning and put on a show? Come on, somebody. Look at the church world. Just not even our leaders are here. How in the heck do we expect God to bless us with more souls when we don't even get it? Hey, you don't have no sin, throw the first stone. Think about it for a second. And he prophesied that. And this is what we're dealing with now. You got all these things, you know, where were the Christianos in when they took prayer out of school? Where was the Christians when all this was going on? Where's the Christians now? We are victory outreach, folks. And I told that young man, you know, the reason you don't see too many people here, because our ministry is a little different than any other ministry. We're not better. We're not the best. We're not the only ones. I told him, there's a lot of great ministries around the world and even in this city. But I want you to know that Victory Outreach might not be big in numbers here, but we're a lot of this. I can mention churches that are not impacting countries. Come on, somebody. I've been to the mission field. I walked Guatemala, Honduras, Salvador, Mexico, and I've seen the work of the Lord through United We Can and the UTC. And I've seen that. I've seen the outpour. I've seen the anointing of God. You know what I mean? And it pours out. One day we'll catch up, but right now we are called to reach souls. Come on, somebody. And I can take you. You want to take a cruise with me? No. I'll take you to Legacy Church. I'll take you to Calvary. I'll take you to New Beginnings. I'll take you to Family Worship. You know what? Half of those people started with Victory Outreach. Thank God that they're still with God. Thank God that they're in the church. Thank God for all these churches, my friend. But we are Victory Outreach. We're a little peculiar. Estamos un poco destrampados. Come on, somebody. Somebody translate that. I don't know what that means. Don't you remember where we come from? I don't know about you guys, but I still remember where we come from. How God pulled us out of that. And how can we be a normal church Sunday morning Christian people only and not come on Sundays or Wednesdays or even Bible studies or something like that? Come on, somebody. We want everything. If you're really saved, you had an encounter with Jesus Christ, If you really encounter that, you want to be at everything that has to do with your church world. Because the more you get involved, the more you get into it, the more you die, and the more Christ is in you. Come on, somebody. And that's where you're going to get the strength. That's where you're going to get the power. That's where you're going to get the call. That's where you're going to get the blessings. Come on, somebody. That's what it's coming down to. I remember when I started. I even went to a Catholic church in the county jail. And I didn't go with it because I wanted to hear the priest. I went in and stole all his hymn books. Because I heard they had Un Día a la Vez. And then they had another song, De Colores, and I had all these convicts in the county jail singing. Just sing it, bro. You know what I mean? We all came back. What are you going to do? Just put the book right here, bro. Come on, you stole before. You're in jail for something, man. You know what I mean? But we started a Bible study. To this day, now they have Bible class. Come on, somebody. Inmate Bible study, fellowship, all kinds of good stuff. But I still remember that I wanted to be at everything that had to do with God. Because I was hungry. I was hungry. I wanted more than just, I wasn't satisfied just being free. And the reason why I went back to jail is not because I backslid. I went back to jail because I had a lot of things following me. And I remember that day when they rolled up, even though a lot of people don't want to give me credit, I was in the home for 2 months. I probably, if it wasn't for that, I'd probably still be in the home to this day. But I want you to know that if the cops rolled up on me, and you know what they told me? We don't know what scheme you're playing now, Joe, but you're not a Christian. I never used Jesus, even when I stood before the judge. How do you plead guilty? You know what she told me? Joe, you never plead guilty. I knew that God had something done in my life. I knew that there was something different. What about you? Do you still remember the day that Jesus Christ invaded your privacy, interrupted your miserable lifestyle, and set you free, even when we didn't want to get set free? I didn't want God. I didn't wake up one day, and I don't think I'll go to church and victory outreach. I don't think I'll read my Bible. Come on, somebody. No, you were God's chosen vessel. In case you haven't figured it out, we serve a God that knew the past, the present, and the future. We serve a God that before you were even born in Jeremiah 1:5, when you were in your mother's womb, He already called you out. We serve a God that says in Ephesians that before the foundations of the world, He already sought you out. Even Paul the apostle, when he testified in Galatians chapter 1 before the king, he said, when it pleased God that separated me from my mother's womb to preach the gospel. So being a saved or becoming a man of God or becoming real in the right mind is nothing new. It's just God wants to finish what He started in each one of us. But He was coming down to that. So coming down back to our portion of scripture here. But look at what it says also. I'm back in Isaiah. So remember the former things. Remember the former things. In other words, look what the Lord has done from the beginning. And it says also in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, for I am God and there is no other. I am God. There is none like me. Come on, somebody. Folks, there is no other way. There is nothing like it. That's what I'm trying to get across, if you realize and recognize that it wasn't a crazy life. Someone call it la vida loca. It wasn't that. Come on, somebody. It wasn't the education. It wasn't any relationship. It wasn't a mother's tears. It wasn't the penitentiary or some kind of program. It was God, folks. It was God Almighty. It was His grace, His mercy, His love, something that we had no clue what was about. And He was able to put up with us. He was able to understand what was going on. And this is why we're here today. It had nothing to do with anything. There is nothing like it. Have you ever read in the scriptures? Have you ever read in John 8:32, you shall know the truth? What about John 3:3, born again? What about John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life? There is no other way. And I know that there's many denominations and many doctrines, many religions that are going to try to argue. We don't have time to get into like Bible school and all that. But we know that we stand on a firm foundation of the gospel. Don't fall for all these other doctrines and this and that. Nowadays, we're living in a time frame where Christians are being deceived. Remember that the Bible says that in the end times, even the very elect will be deceived. The devil will transform himself as an angel of light. Let me tell you when you can tell when it's God and when it's the devil. When you're not praying, you're not reading the word, you're just getting fed up from the church or the Bible studies. Come on, somebody. And then all of a sudden, doors begin to open. And all of a sudden you say, oh, God is blessing me. Really? How can God bless you? What is the number one problem in the world? Come on, I know got some Bible scholars and educated guys, you know. Unlike my pastor, man, Pastor Dan Sanchez. We kicked out of garden, Plunk kindergarten. All I know is Jesus Christ and being crucified. Come on, somebody. The number one problem in the world is communication. In any relationship, if there's no communication, there's no understanding, and you're going to bump heads. Well, we have a relationship with God, but when you don't communicate with God, hello, somebody. When you're not in communication with God, there's going to be some chaos. Because God is in the move. God is doing his thing. God is already waiting for us to just line ourselves up. But this is why, you know, here we look at that. Look at that. I'm still in verse 9 and verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning. Declaring the end from the beginning. How many guys know that God knows everything about us? Have you read John chapter 1? Chapter 6? It starts from verse 5 and 6. It talks about the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus, he does it to Philip. He said, Philip, where are we going to buy food for all this? If you read verse 6, it says, he said that just to test him. For he already knew what he was going to do. How many of you know that God already knows what he's going to do with you and me? How many of you know that God already knows what he's going to do with you and me? All he's doing is waiting for us to stop bucking sometimes. For us to keep leaning on our own understanding. For us to, if you're going to be a leader, lead. Come on, somebody. You're going to be somebody in the kingdom of God, be somebody in the kingdom of God. Whatever it takes. And this is what the Lord is kind of leading me to. How many of you know that he knows from the beginning to the end, from the end to the beginning? How many know that the end is always better? Amen? How many of you guys remember the story? I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit. If you study the life of Joseph. Joseph was a man of God. But he had some jealous brothers that didn't like him. And every time you're doing good, you're always going to get those people in the church that don't like you. Somebody used the word haters. I don't believe in that in the Christian world. The Bible says they should not hate, so don't talk to me about haters. But there's always going to be like that. You know the story. If you don't, I'll kind of refresh your memory a little bit. They beat him up. They actually wanted to kill him. But Reuben said, come on, guys. He said, Mano, man, it's our brother, man. They just beat him up. So they said they threw him in a pit. And then to top it off, they made a story that a wild animal ate him, and they told the dad. And then to top it off, they sold him as a slave to the Midianites. And then to top it off, they sold him to the more slave. And then to top it off, he got falsely accused of something he didn't do. Spent several years in prison. But one thing about Joseph, he never forgot his God. No matter how many terror, no matter how many trials, no matter how many things he would go through, he never forgot his God. So I don't care what you go through, don't ever forget your God. And you know what? And look at that's just the beginning, but the end of the story. In Genesis 52, when he came across to his own brothers, they didn't recognize him, but he did. He had already forgiven him. You remember he had the power to take him out right there? But he had forgiven him. And you know what he told him? It's all good. But you meant evil. God turned it for the good. So this is why Victory Outreach is a strong ministry. Because we, whatever we were involved with, the evilness, God turned it for the good. Come on, somebody. Amen. Sometimes when I have fellowship with Mark and we talk about the old days, it blows my mind. How can this be? He can tell you stories, things that, I mean, I don't want to get into all that, but we did some crazy things. And how in the heck could that be possible? I mean, but we remember all that. But the whole bottom line is that, you know, at the end of the story, look how we turn out. We're both sitting in church. We're both serving God. You know what I tell Mark? I'm going to pick on him. He say, hey, Mark, man, you're the only friend I got. But you're my worst friend. Say, you're my worst friend, but you're the only friend I got. But we go way back, amen. I remember when he first tried to preach to me. We were in the county jail. Joe, we were smoking a joint. Yes, in the county jail. And I tried to give him a joint. They looked at me, Joe, Jesus loves you like Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. Mark, it's me, Joe. What are you talking about? He just shook his head and said, one day you'll understand. You know, they know he was already, God was after me and what is the seed. And I still haven't arrived, but I'm getting there. Come on, somebody. But let's bring this home right here. So it's coming down to all this. Like, what about, that was just Joseph. So you know what? From where he went through, from the prison house to the palace, he became the governor of Egypt, the second most powerful man in that time on earth. Come on, somebody. But he never gave up on his God. And I can tell you more stories like Job. Job lost everything. He talked about trials, talked about things that we go through sometimes. Job, man, before he got out of one, he was already going to another. And they killed his family, and they killed his stock, and they burned this, and they burned that. And before he got even his own wife, okay, hey, why don't you just quit, Job? No, if the guy was a Chicano, he would look at her, that's loca. But he was an Ethiopian, I guess. So he said, you crazy woman. Read it. I'm not making it up. I'm not making it up. He says, she told him, she would only praise God in the good times and not the bad. And he lost everything. But if you read the end of the story, God blessed him 3-4 times more than what. And I want you to know something. The devil had something to do with it. He said, oh, look at him. He saw, because you blessed him, take away his blessings. When you read that story, when God asked the devil, what are you doing here? He wasn't like they were negotiating. He was telling him, you got no business here. What are you doing here? You got no part in these people. The devil has no part in your life. He already had his chance in the past, in the world, before Christ. I was sharing with the men's home with the Friday morning that when you come to salvation, come to Jesus, you come to the home, you come this far, and Jesus Christ steps in, and then from that on, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I'll come back to that also in a minute. But you know what? For it's coming down to that. It says, that was just Job. Joseph. You know, David had his little setbacks too, but check him out. I told you earlier that he was 12 years old when he got anointed to be king, but in all that process, Saul tried to kill him, and he went through this, and he went through that, all kinds of stuff. But he never gave up neither. He became king, even though he went through a living nightmare, not to mention Mr. Chakrak and Abednego. Those guys were really, really going through the fire. But one thing that I do sometimes, God, even if you don't bless me, even if you don't do this, God, I'm still going to serve you either way. And that's the attitude we got to have. Just because things don't go our way sometimes. Come on, somebody. Are we going to throw in the towel? Oh, God didn't answer my prayer. I'm going to go to another church. Hey, you can go to all the churches in the world. You're going to run out before you get to God's calling. Come on, somebody. Going to another church is not the answer. So, you know, but look at what it says also there in verse 10. And from the ancient times, things that are not yet done. Things that are not yet done. What does that mean? That means that the Lord's work is not done. Come on, somebody. The Lord's work is not done yet, folks. Amen, amen. It's not done yet. So we are the ones that are responsible for the movement. Who else? Listen, who else are people going to depend on? Who else are people going to believe on? Someone's been around for a while. It would be foolish to turn back. Come on, somebody. People are counting on us. It took me 15 years to reach one sister, 20 years to reach another sister, and another time to reach all my family. But you know what? They call me for prayer, and they're going to church. They might not be here in this church. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? But it took a process. How dare for me to throw in the towel or run or go hide in a cave? Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? It ain't going to happen. I got nephews, nieces. All they know is Pastor Joe. They don't know the old Joe. They don't need to know the old Joe. They need to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Some of you have children. They don't need to know your story. They need to know the real story. Come on, somebody. And going back to Proverbs, I'm going to close with that, I promise. In the same portion, it says in verse 27, do not withhold good for those whom it is due, to whom it is due, especially what's in the power of your hand. God has blessed us, why can't we bless somebody? God has put up with us, why can't we put up with somebody? Not only is it our time for our blessings, but it's our time to bless others. Are you with me so far? Especially within the power of your hand. There's still hurting folks out there. It's yours. They keep backsliding. Yes, you go back to the same thing. Yes, they do this. Yes, they do that. But who else are they going to turn to? I just dealt with a guy here. Where are you? Oh, this and that. And another one called me from the county jail. He was sitting here in church. And later, oh, to throw stones is not going to work, folks. All they need is a handout. I hate it when people walk into the county jail and try to tell me, well, you're no good, and you're going to go to hell, and you're going to do this, you're going to do that. I already knew I was no good. They know they messed up. They need somebody to reach. No, don't even worry about it. It says right there, I just read it, for the things that are not yet done. I haven't arrived. Have you? I told everybody, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to be professional. Come on, somebody. I'm going to give it my best shot. You and I are living on borrowed time. If you know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, you know that you shouldn't even be in church, if you know that God has grace and mercy on you, if you've been born again, you are living on borrowed time. I'll leave you with this story. Hezekiah in Isaiah 38 was sick unto death. And the angel of the Lord went and knocked on his head. Hezekiah, get your house in order, for you will die. Hezekiah wasn't in sin, he was just sick. And he turned to God and prayed, God, I'm not ready for this. And he cried out to God. He fought for it. We want it. And the Bible says that God heard his prayer. Has God heard your prayer lately? And he sent the angel back to Hezekiah. He said, tell him that I heard his prayer and I seen his tears. He's not going to die. In fact, I'm going to give him 15 more years. How many of you know that 15 years in God's time, there is no time? Because the Bible says that 1,000 years is like one day is like 1,000 years. In other words, if God has given us life, let's take advantage of every second of it. No more backsliding, no more murmuring, no more complaining, no more tripping. Come on, somebody. It's time to rise up. Why? Because we are the only hope the world has, folks. If it's in the power of our hand to pass the anointing and the blessings of God, stand to your feet. Father, we thank you tonight, oh God. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord. Father, you brought us this far, oh Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you would take us even more, Lord God. Father, there's still a hurting and lost and dying world, Lord God. Father, we pray that you will continue to raise up this ministry and many other ministries with the apostolic call, evangelism, oh God. To reach the hurting, oh God. To reach those that, Lord, they don't know any better. But I pray tonight, and today, I'm going to open these altars and we're going to pray. If you're here visiting tonight and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, I would love to introduce you to Him. But as we worship tonight, let's all pray together. Let's all bind together. And whatever the Lord ministers to you in some kind of way, let's continue to press in. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory tonight. Have your way, Lord God. Come on, worship Him. Let's worship King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, let's worship Him tonight. Let's open your hearts tonight. Whatever it takes.